Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to see everyone here this morning on this beautifully mild and pleasant February morning. Hard to believe this time last year I had 6-foot piles either side of the sidewalk. Special welcome to anyone that is a visitor this morning. If you have come for the first time and would like a little more information, be sure to find an usher afterwards and they'll be glad to give you a brochure with information regarding the church. Also, welcome for anyone listening in on our audio ministry. As always, there are plenty of announcements located inside your bulletin. Be sure to look at those so you can mark your calendar for upcoming events. I do have a couple of special announcements. First of all, there will be a very brief council meeting back in the narthex immediately following the service, just to go over a couple of things. And Becky has an announcement.
Good morning. I'm extremely excited to tell the women of our church that we have a new Bible study by Beth Moore. It's Mercy Triumphs, and it's on the book of James. And some of the topics that are going to be covered in this Bible study include joy, hardship, faith, reversal of fortune for both rich and poor, wisdom, gifts from above, the dangers of the tongue, which we all struggle with, and humility and prayer. And it's going to be a great Bible study. I'd like to urge you women, I know we're all extremely busy women, you think, how can I fit anything else into my busy schedule and take the time out to study the Bible? Well, one thing, Beth knows this, and in her Bible studies, this new one she's done, it has 5 levels of time commitment. So I just really urge you to do this. The Bible study experience that we have, I meant we women wouldn't do it and take this time if it really didn't strengthen and deepen our faith walk. And we just enjoy it so much, we want you all to experience it. The church has bought the DVD series, and all we have to do, participants, is order our member book, which is $14.95. And I'm going to be ordering those by February 20th. The study is 8 weeks long, starts March 5th. Goes through the end of April, I believe. And so if you'd like to try it, you can make the commitment of just buying the members book and showing up and seeing if you know, want to do it, but it really is a joy. We just love it, and being in a small group Bible study is just a wonderful blessing. So I hope some of you that have never come before will come check it out and see what you're missing. Thank you. Oh, I need to know by the 19th if you want me to order your book. You can also get them on Amazon.com if you want to order your own. But it's called James, Mercy Triumphs by Beth Moore.
Okay, if there are no further announcements, then please sit back and prepare your hearts for worship as we listen to the introit. Now, if you'll please stand and join me in the call to gathering found in your bulletin. This is the place and this is the time. Here and now, God waits to break into our experience.
To change our minds, to change our lives, to change our ways.
To make us see the world and the whole of life in a new light.
To fill us with hope.
This is the place, as are all places. This is the time, as are all times. O God, this place and every place, God of this time and all time, here and now we praise you. Now if you'll look in your bulletin at the insert, we'll sing, O God of every nation. Now, if you'd please pray with me. Dear Lord, during this time of fellowship, we call upon you to bring us guidance. We ask you to grant us the spiritual wisdom that we may not only learn the teachings of your Son, but bring them into our hearts. We know these lessons may be difficult, but our lives will be bettered by them. Lord, help us to contemplate these lessons as we say the prayer your Son has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you would turn to one another and greet each other with the peace of Christ.
That was lovely. Could we do it again in a minute?
I don't think the covenant's ever been introduced.
No, well, that's pretty cool. I would invite you now to turn to page 700 in your hymnal as we join together in our church covenant. Having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and on the profession of our faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we do now, in the presence of God and this assembly, most solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant with one another as one body in Christ. We engage, therefore, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, to walk together in Christian love, to strive for the advancement of this church in knowledge, holiness, and comfort, to promote its prosperity and spirituality, to sustain its worship, ordinances, discipline, and doctrines, to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, the expenses of the church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all nations. We also engage to maintain as far as possible family and secret devotion, to teach our children the Christian truths, to seek the salvation of our kindred and acquaintances, to walk circumspectly in the world, to be just in our dealings, faithful in our engagements, exemplary in our deportment, and to be zealous in our efforts to advance the kingdom of our Savior. Remembering that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, we shall endeavor to form and to follow habits which shall promote health of body, mind, and soul, both in ourselves and in others. We further engage to watch over one another in brotherly love, to remember each other in prayer, to aid each other in sickness and distress, to cultivate Christian sympathy in feeling and courtesy in speech, to be slow to take offense, but always ready for reconciliation, and mindful of the rules of our Savior to secure it without delay. We moreover engage that when we remove from this place, we will as soon as possible unite with some other church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's word.
And now if you remain seated as the children come forward for the children's sermon, we will sing hymn number 468, Be Thou My Vision.
Thank you. I like that song. You too. Thank you. This is one of my favorite hymns. All right. How is everybody today? Look at all the visitors we have today. So let's see. Let's start over there. What's your name? Next to Evelyn. Cheyenne. And are you a friend of Evelyn's? No? To who did you come with this morning? Your grandma. Wow. Grandma brought lots of nice visitors. That would be Jeannie and Roy. Thank you very much. And what is your name?
Courtney.
Courtney? And who are you here with? Jeannie and Roy. Yeah. We're going to put them on the number one list today. I want each and every one of you to bring as many next week. And you're related to Jeannie and Roy too? And what is your name?
Dakota.
Dakota James.
No, it's actually Dakota James.
Oh, shoo. I think you better say that a little slower because I think there were about a million names in there. What's your full name again? Dakota, James, Anthony, Ross, Hat. A Wallace hat. Who gave that boy that tag? Because that is like the biggest tag a little boy could ever have. Are you trying to be king someday? Because, you know, kings have lots of big names like that. I can just call you what Dakota? Dakota James. Dakota James. I can call him that. That's good. And Courtney. Now, are you all brothers and sisters or cousins?
Brothers and sisters.
I see. And what's your name?
Maya. I'm cousins with Evelyn.
You're a cousin of Evelyn's? On her dad's side, I suspect. You look a little like Todd. That's all right. I think he's kind of handsome myself, so that's a good thing. And your name again is?
Amaya.
Amaya? Amaya. And this is, Olivia. And Judas?
Jodas.
How do you spell that?
J-O-D-A.
Jodas, okay. And what's your name, little boy?
You know.
Oh, yeah, I know. All right, well, I brought something to show you. Those of you who are just visiting today, we hope you'll come back lots and lots. Well, he can come back, spend every Saturday night. I'm sure Mom and Dad would love that. Anyway, recently I went to Mexico. Have any of you ever been to Mexico?
Yeah.
No.
We're doing the same high school, my class
really. Okay. Well, I went to Mexico and I was there for 3 weeks. And my friend that I was staying with a couple, a husband and wife, Joyce and David. And one day, David took the dogs, they have two dogs, took them on the beach for a walk. And when he came back, he gave me this. I'm going to show you what he gave me. Can you see?
Whoa, a seashell.
Well, it's not a seashell, actually. No, it's not a starfish. I'm going to give you, this one is very delicate. It already broke once and I had to glue it back together. So I'm going to leave that in my box. But I'm going to give you one that was made out of metal that is a copy of these, and you can pass it around and look at it, okay? Who knows what this is, if anybody out here? It's called a sand dollar, that's right. And it is a kind of sea animal. You'd call an animal, wouldn't you, Ray? Before it died, which it's now not living, but it was alive at one point, and they're in the ocean, and they're very hard to find. They're actually not very easy to find. They're not like regular shells. They dig down, they burrow under the sand. And so when they're living, they're hard to find. But when they have died, then they kind of come to the surface. And anyway, David found this one for me. And inside, it has living parts. And it kind of, did everyone down there get to see it all the way down? Okay. On the back side, see on this one, you can't see it so much on this one because this is a copy. But in this one, you can see like a hole back in here. See the hole?
Yeah.
See the holes back in there? Evelyn, can you see the hole?
I see it.
Right there. It's a tiny little pinhole. See the hole?
Yeah.
Well, that's where its kind of mouth and teeth are, and it eats from back in there.
Whale?
No, it's called a sand dollar. That's what we call it. Is there another name for it? Is there a biological name for it? Mr. Biology? Ray studied biology, so I have to ask him all those big biology questions. He's my husband, by the way. Well, the funny thing is that this sand dollar is kind of interesting because Christians have taken the sand dollar and used it as a symbol, as a way for us to remember what Jesus did for us. Evelyn, you want to come? You guys want to come up closer here? Come around here. It's okay. You can sit on the floor or beside me because I want you to see this. Why don't you hold that up? Just hold it right there like that, okay? And so one of the ways that the sand dollar helps us to remember Jesus is that the way it looks. Can you see? Hold it right. Can you hold it right? Don't cover up that hole right there. There you go. Good. Can you see how it has holes in it? How many holes are in there? How many?
Five.
That's right. You got 1, 2, 3, 4 on the outside, and then you've got this other one here. Now, what we try and remember when we look at the sand dollar is that when Jesus was on the cross, do any of you know where they placed the nails when they put him on the cross? Blake, where did they put the nails? His hands and feet. So when we look at the sand dollar, we can see 4 holes for his hands and feet. See? Now Jesus's were like that, you know. But those represent the 4 places where Jesus had nails put in him, his hands and feet. And then in the Bible it tells us when Jesus was finally dying, to find out whether he was truly dead or not, the guards at the cross took a spear and put it up into his side to make sure he was gone. And so we remember that when you look at this one here, down here, this one here. But that's not the end of the story, is it? Because we know that Jesus, after he died, came back to life. And one of the ways that we celebrate and remember Jesus' coming back to life is by the symbol of a flower, sometimes a rose, sometimes a lily. And if you look, can you see a flower in the sand dollar?
Yeah.
Where's the flower? Look, go ahead and point it out. Right there, where's the flower? That's right, Olivia. Right in the middle of the sand dollar is a flower. So that reminds us that Jesus came back to life and rose again from the dead. And now here's the amazing part, and you only know it if you break open a sand dollar. And since this one came apart, it came out and I got to save one. But when you get a real sand dollar, these are all gone out of here, when inside a sand dollar after it's died, if you shake it, you'll hear things rattling in there. Now these all have already, because it broke, they fell out. But if you get one that has not been broken, you'll hear the rattling. And what's inside are these. Now on a bigger sand dollar, they'll be bigger. So you really have to look close at my hand. Can you see that?
Oh, that's like a tooth.
That's right, Olivia. That's exactly right. You see that? Can you see that? Can you see this, Evelyn? Now, if you look at this, besides looking like a tooth, what might that also look like? What do you think that looks like, Jodas? What do you think it looks like, the way it's shaped like that? What does that look? A V? What else? Maybe. But if it was in the air, what might that look like? What might that? A bird. Does that kind of look like a bird? Well, not upside down, it doesn't. But that way it does. See how it kind of looks like a bird?
Yeah.
Well, one of the symbols that Christians use to identify the Spirit of God that lives with us forever and ever and comes to be with us when we're Christians is the symbol of a dove. So here in the sand dollar, we have all these wonderful representations of Jesus and the Spirit that was left behind. We have the story of his crucifixion. We have the story of his resurrection because of the symbol of the flower. And then we have this marvelous inside, just like when Jesus came out of the grave and he left, he promised us the Spirit. Inside each sand dollar are representatives of the Holy Spirit, the dove. So if you're ever at the beach and you look and you see the sand One way you can know where sand dollars are hidden underneath is if you look and the sand bubbles up, it's where they're breathing and the air can come up. And so if you dig real quick, because they dig pretty quickly, you have to dig way down deep and try and see if you can find sand dollars. And then you can find all the symbols in them that remind us of Jesus. Did you look for sand dollars on the beach? Yeah?
They were little.
Yeah, they were little. So I hope that you'll remember the story of the sand dollar and not just how wonderful God is to create something so beautiful, don't you think? It's beautiful. But that it can remind us in its beauty of Jesus, who is so beautiful to us as someone who loved us and cares for us all the time. Let's have a word of prayer together. Gracious and almighty God, we thank you that Jesus came to live with us and be one of us as humans, to die for us and sacrifice so much for us, to teach us about you and leave us lessons, and then, Lord, to rise again and to send us your Holy Spirit so that we might never be far away from you. Bless these children. Thank you for them coming today. Bless each one of them. Open their hearts, their souls, and their minds to you. Bless them this week. Keep them safe. Open their minds to learn all that they can learn, for they are yours. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you can go with Miss Becky, who's over there, and thank you very much. Over that way. I've been thinking this week about many things, actually. It's been one of those weeks for me. I don't know about you, but it has been for me. And in the midst of all of it, I have been reminded of the goodness of God. I was a little nervous about coming back to Michigan after spending 3 weeks in the sunshine, and God has provided. And an amazingly warm winter we're experiencing. And even if it weren't, I'd give thanks to God for just giving me one day more to celebrate and enjoy the people and the place where I call home. As the ushers come forward this morning, I hope that you will take a moment to think about the many blessings that you've been given. And as you return to God, your gifts, your tithes, and your offerings, may you be blessed as you give. Will the ushers come forward?
Thank you.
Will you pray with me? Gracious and almighty God, we stand in thanksgiving today. Before you, we stand offering dollars, paper money. More than this, almighty God, we offer to you our gratitude. And more than that, we offer ourselves. For each dollar or coin we place in the offering plate represents our gratitude and a moment in our own lives for which we are thankful. Take now our gratitude and our money and ourselves and bless each and every bit of it. To your glory, for your kingdom, to the spreading of the gospel and the ministry of people in need. For we pray these things in the name of Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
Great are you, Lord. Amen. We have an opportunity to go before that great and almighty Lord this morning with our thoughts, our concerns, our many burdens, as well as those things on our heart which bring us joy and celebration. I want to remind you of some things that are printed and things that have been shared, and then certainly if there's someone who hasn't had an opportunity, I'd like for them to also have an opportunity to share this morning. I want to recall to your memory those that are printed on our bulletins. I want to draw your attention to a couple of names. I mentioned before, and actually it was my fault, I forgot to mention to Linda that we no longer, Parker Harris is a praise because he is just doing wonderfully. I again got an update on Colin Trask, who is the about 17-year-old young man suffering from brain cancer in the Birmingham area of our state, and he just finished his fourth round of chemotherapy, is struggling with a lot of nausea, and so I encourage you to pray for him. Received word this morning through the prayer request sheet from both Michael and David that Mr. Verhage has passed away as of just yesterday. So we want to remember the Quinnens in our prayers and also the Verhage family. Leo Verhage went to be with the Lord yesterday. So we want to remember your wife and her family in our prayers and our condolences to her as well. You have noticed on the, and last week, of course, we got good word on Cletus, still doing well, so we can remove his name from our list. You'll see next to his name the name Helen Rosado, and it's nice to see Christine in church with us. I'm sure she's been here while I've been gone, but it's the first time I've seen her since I've gotten back. And Chris has two good words this morning. First of all, wanting to share that Helen is doing quite well, her sister recovering from her major surgery to remove one of her kidneys, which had some cancer in it. So we want to praise the Lord for her ongoing recovery. And also, Chris is a grandma. And she wants us to know they welcomed into the world just last Sunday a little girl by the name of Mia, and 6 pounds, 7 ounces. And so congratulations, Grandma, and blessings on that new wonderful baby in your family's life for Mia. So a praise for that. And then we have several concerns that we want to share. Michael, in addition to bringing to our attention Mr. Verhage, is also wanting us to remember those who suffered in an arson fire this past week. Also, Tom is asking us for prayers for his fiancée, Brenda. Her mother, Annabelle Baruti, is suffering from an infection which she has been hospitalized for, and as of yet they have not been able to find a medication that she has not had an allergic reaction to. Does that sound correct, Tom? And so we want to remember Annabelle Baruti and also Brenda, who takes care of her. We want to remember them in our prayers. Al Farrell is asking us to remember his father-in-law, Brenda's father, and also a neighbor of theirs. Is it Moun? Oh, neighbor's mother. Thank you. I'm sorry, Al. That's okay. No, it was fine. Brenda's mother and a neighbor of Al and Brenda's and a neighbor's mother, Brenda's father, sorry, and a neighbor's mother who are both in the hospital with breathing problems. So we want to remember them in our prayers as well. And then Tricia Lewis has asked us to pray for a couple of the things. Her sister Stephanie, who we have oftentimes prayed for, is having some difficulty. There are some ongoing medical conditions that they just haven't been able to take care of. And this recently they had to put an animal, a pet of theirs, a dog, down. And this has caused quite a bit of distress for her, which has brought on more seizures and nosebleeds for her in the distress over this situation. So we want to remember her and the comfort in this time, and also for her husband. So Stephanie, what is the last name there, Tricia? Anderson. So Stephanie, and what's her husband's name? Stephanie and Carl Anderson. And then also a friend of Trisha's has been diagnosed with a disorder called Ehlers, a condition. Her daughter, what did I say? Not husband. Daughter. The co-worker's daughter has been diagnosed with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. And she's been in and out of the hospital for the last 3 months. She's only 17 and will probably not be able to finish her senior year this year at school, and currently in the hospital with some heart issues, and they don't seem to be able to find a way to keep her out of the hospital. And her name is Haley Jenkins. So if you will remember Haley Jenkins and Stephanie and Carl Anderson in your prayers as well, we would appreciate that. And then I want to share with you a couple of concerns on my heart. This past week, our son called us, and a friend of his with whom he went to diving school in Jacksonville and now works with the same company Jordan does, but in Memphis, as a matter of fact, took over the apartment where Jordan was when he was in Memphis, was in a motorcycle accident this week and ended up head-on into a bus. And they weren't sure he was going to survive. It was a 3 to 4 hour surgery. They had to remove portions of his skull to allow for the swelling. He is doing okay now. His parents have arrived from out of state, but there will be a long process of recovery for this young man. His name is Anthony, and so I want to ask you to remember him in your prayers as well. Is there anything else this morning by way of a concern or a celebration? Yes, Sharon. Mm-hmm. Oh. Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Gracious and Almighty God, in the moments of quiet, we rest in you. We allow our hearts to slow down a bit. We allow our minds to release those stresses and strains and cares and worries and burdens and griefs on our heart to float away from us up into your care. In the moments of silence, O God, we open up our hearts, our minds, and our souls to make room for you. Oftentimes, in the busyness of our lives, we don't take that time. And so the spaces in our hearts and minds and souls are filled with cares, names, news stories, burdens, griefs, sorrows, and even good things too, Almighty God, gifts we receive, laughter we experience, people that visit, family we spend time with. All of these things, Almighty God, crowd every moment. And so, in this time, we wait in silence. We pause to listen for a moment to what you might have for us. Remembering that your son taught us to pray, not just one specific prayer, but to pray without ceasing. Remembering that you hear our prayers, even when we cannot speak them because of the power and presence of your Holy Spirit. Remembering that you are a God of grace, a God of mercy, a God of tenderness and love and justice. We lay before you today all that has been spoken in these moments. For those who are suffering loss of homes, loss of jobs, loss of loved ones, we ask for your comfort, be showered upon them, to bring into their lives brothers and sisters in the Lord who will bring them comfort and your presence in physical form. Lord, for those who are struggling with burdens that seem too heavy to bear, we ask for you to lighten their load. For those, Lord, who are brought down by illness and disease and pain, we ask for your healing touch, a measure of healing and wholeness to be brought into their lives. For Annabelle, for Al's father-in-law and his neighbor's mother, for Stephanie and Carl, for Haley, for Isaac, for Anthony, for Colin, for all those others who have been mentioned and those whose names have not been brought forward today, we ask your mighty hand, your touch of healing. And Lord, in this time, we ask for your spirit of empowerment to grasp a hold of us and help us see through the burdens, through the sorrows, through the pain, the suffering. Help us see through that for a glimpse of the joy of being with you. Help us, Almighty God, to walk in hope. We give you thanks for this time together. We give you thanks for Mia. We give you thanks for recovering and helping and walking beside Cletus and for bringing little Parker to wholeness and well-being. We thank you for this day of sunshine. We thank you for this place where we can worship you in freedom. Help us glimpse even just the slightest measure of your hope, Almighty God, and walk in your joy and your peace and your hope. For we pray these things to you in the name of your Son and through the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning's scripture reference can be found in the letter to the Romans in the New Testament. If you're looking in your pew Bibles, it will be found in the New Testament section of the Bible on page 1096. If you're using your own Bible, you can find this in the book of Romans in the 8th chapter, beginning with verse 22. The letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verse 22, following through verse 30. We know, Paul writes, that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons and daughters, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what she already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And the one who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called, and those he called, he also justified, and those he justified, he also glorified. This is the word of the Lord this morning. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth, Almighty God, and the meditation of all of our hearts together be pleasing and acceptable unto you, for you alone are our rock, our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen. I have asked the choir to pray for me this morning because I find this message to be a difficult one. Ray and I talked this morning about it a little bit, and so I encourage you to uplift me in prayer that the Spirit will be with me as I share with you this morning. When I was in La Paz, I met many people who inspired me about hope. And while I was there, I developed the series that we are now in called Walking with God in La Paz. And last week we talked about walking with God in peace and walking with God in hope today. And then we will also talk about walking with God in joy and in love. And last week was pretty easy for me, peace. And the interesting thing is that usually when you begin to touch base with some of God's many blessings, it seems that at every turn, the evil that is around us seems to challenge us about those very gifts and things we think we know. And so last week was truly as much as 3 weeks of peace in La Paz. In 1 week, all that peace seemed to be shattered in my life. As I listened to my son share with me, not just about his friend Anthony, but also a coworker who ended up in jail, and he had to go and help him out as he was arrested for drunk driving and had an accident. I struggled with other issues related to life here and inner struggles, at every point it seemed that the peace that I thought I had was being challenged. That does not deny the fact that God always offers me that peace, just that sometimes it seems so far away from us. And then I was reminded of this message of walking in hope, walking with God in hope. And I thought about, when I was in La Paz, why this message came to me. And it came to me because of a young woman named Lily. Lily is actually not a Guatemalan, I believe. She is a South American woman married to an American man who live in Mexico. So they are quite the international couple. They own a home, which they just built over the last 2 years, on a piece of property that sits on the Sea of Cortez, about 30, 35 miles south and east of La Paz. And I was able to visit them because on the weekend that we went to visit them, there was an international competition going on for a sport called kite boarding. Any of you ever heard of this sport, kite boarding? It's not the same as windsurfing, which I originally had it confused with. If you are friends with me on Facebook, you might have seen pictures of this trip that I took to El Sargento. Kite boarding is the use of a very large U-shaped kite. Almost looks like a more contemporary parachute, the kind that is in the shape of a half moon. And you hold on to the kite strings, and you're attached to a harness that helps you hold on. But basically, your arms are holding on to the kite, and that's how you steer it. And then your feet rest on not quite a surfboard, not quite a boogie board, but something kind of in between. And you maneuver the board by use of the wind that is in the parachute. And they have competitions that involve sometimes jumping and aerial maneuvers with the board up in the air, allowing the kite to take you off the sea. And then they also race on kite boards from one point all the way around into the next. And that's why we went. We went to see this international competition that draws people from as far away as New Zealand and Australia and Japan and all around the world to this tiny little town in Mexico called El Sargento, where Lily and her husband Bob live. And that was incredible enough, and the sunset that evening was truly amazing. But what I found to be hopeful in Sargento was Lily. Lily and Bob have lived in the United States, and they now live there. And Lily has found a calling there, which to me is a sign of hope. Mexico is an interesting place because in many ways it is a very religious country, but it is a religious country that is full of contradiction and full of ritual and full of cultural mixed up things, so that you will find in their religious culture Roman Catholicism mixed in with Caribbean sort of rituals and voodoo and belief in death, that dead people that come back on the Day of the Dead, or Dia de Muerta, which is celebrated in October. And you will find elaborate tiny homes built in graveyards, because that is where they believe the spirits of their deceased loved ones come back. And so they build them these sort of mini little places to rest. You will also find wonderful traditions such as Dia de los Reyes, which is the celebration of the Day of the Kings, which we know as Epiphany. And they celebrate that by giving gifts and sharing bread. You will find wonderful Baptist Christians who celebrate and believe just as we do. It is an interesting mixture of all these things. And into this mixture comes various levels of belief. And so you will find many people in Mexico who might claim some form of faith and yet know nothing about the Bible or about Jesus in a very personal or relational way. And yet into this sort of mixed up, somewhat hopeless, if you look at the country as a whole, the level of living there is so unimaginable for most of us as Americans, and what they live on and how they exist from day to day, selling hot dogs on the street, and that might be their only income. Enter into this sweet Lily, who has in her heart a vision, a hope, that she, in the basement of her home, will bring in people in El Sargento to come into her home to learn English. But the way she will teach them English is by teaching them to read the Bible. And there are many Mexicans, because in Mexico you can learn English, and it is strongly encouraged there. But the only ones that can really learn proper English are those who can afford to send their children to private school, schools that teach in both English and in Spanish. Well, as you can imagine, that is not a lot of the population. Public school is free, private school is not, just like here in the United States. And so many adults in Mexico, many of whom have never even been able to go to public school through high school, don't know how to speak English. And yet, particularly in this area, in the Baja portion of Mexico, they need to speak English, because there are many, many English-speaking people from around the world who come there to vacation. And so Lily's hope is that their desire to learn English will draw them to her, who will teach them for free, but she'll teach them the Word of God. Now, I admire Lily because it is a hope that is a high hope, because it will mean for her, first of all, finding a way to find these people who will come to her home. And then secondly, people who will be okay with opening up the Bible. Now, some of them will know the Bible because they've been to Catholic Mass, or they're familiar with it because the nation as a whole is very influenced by the Roman Catholic Church. But in Mexico, believe it or not, you are either identified as Católica, Catholic, or Cristiana, Christian. And if you are Cristiana, you are not Católica. Do you get what I'm saying? You are either Christian or you are Catholic. They are not the same. That's how they view it. Lily has hope that she will be able to open the eyes of her Mexican brothers and sisters, as she sees them, to the hope of Jesus Christ. For a life that does not identify people as Catholic or Christian, Católica or Cristiana, but as brothers and sisters in the Lord. And Lily speaks of this desire in her heart to teach English and to use the scriptures and to see these people come to know the Lord in such a way that you want to help her. You want to work alongside of her. And so I came home intending to tell you Lily's story and encouraging you with a word of hope. And I found it here in the book of Romans, in chapter 8, verses 22 through 30. And here I found words of hope and three different ways of thinking about it. In the beginning, in verses 22 through 25, Paul writes that this hope that we walk in is a hope of walking with God in a hope that is complete and total restoration of all of creation. This is something that I don't think most of us as Christians understand, and I know people outside of our faith don't think about it. But what Paul is stressing here is the entire created order. It is all of creation that is groaning in the pains of childbirth to be whole and healed and walk in hope. That this hope is that God will redeem everything, all of creation. That means animals, rivers and streams, our entire planet, God has the intention to redeem and make whole. That's why I love people who are about the ecologically minded. I appreciate people who want to recycle and want to plant trees and think about our earth and our rivers and our streams and our animals and our sea life. Even those who aren't Christian, because they have a hope that some of us as Christians don't see. God wants this whole world to be redeemed because He made it. That is our hope. We walk in that hope. The second kind of hope that Paul expresses here is that walking with God includes walking with God in the hope of our communion with God. And again, here I find hope, because I think I hope that I can share with you, and what Paul shares with us, is that even when we sometimes don't know what to say to God, we can still communicate with God. Look at verses 26 and 28. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what to pray, for the Spirit Himself intercedes with us with groans that words cannot express. And the one who searches our hearts, that is God, knows the mind of the Spirit. So what Paul's saying to us is here is, even when we don't know what to pray, even when words don't come. Even when we find it hard to express what's on our heart, the Spirit who lives with us, lives within us, is the same Spirit that is the Spirit of God. And they communicate in ways that we don't even understand, so that those agonies, those pains, even those joys on our hearts that are unable to be expressed verbally by us, we can't find the words. The Holy Spirit within us communicates to the Spirit of God because they are one and the same, and God hears our heart prayers. Because the God of our heart, the Spirit that searches our heart, is the same Spirit of God. So we walk in hope that our prayers, whether we know how to pray them or not, are being heard by God. And finally, God, Paul says, we walk in the hope that all of creation will be redeemed. We walk in the hope that every bit of our yearnings and groanings and prayers will be heard by God through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. And we walk in hope of a God who knows and has secured our destiny. I had friends when I was in college who were Presbyterian. And if you've ever known anybody who's truly Presbyterian, they believe in something called predestination. And they was used to argue with me. And of course, they would, you know, tease me because I didn't particularly believe in that. And they would always cite one of these scripture references as supporting their idea of predestination, in that God chooses some, but not others. And so when I would come to a text like this, I would sometimes be a little, you know, frustrated in not understanding it. And yet the other day I came across a passage of scripture, I mean a commentary on this passage of scripture, and it became so clear to me. And what I think Paul wants us to understand is that, yes, God predestined. God predestined everything. In other words, there is a destiny ordained by God for all of us. And that destiny is that we will be redeemed. We will be whole. We will walk with Him in hope for eternity. Our destiny is secured, Paul says, because those who God predestined, He also sought to justify, to make whole. And those He justified, He glorified. The hope we walk in is a hope of our security, hope of our eternal destiny to walk with God, when we believe in Jesus Christ and allow the Holy Spirit to walk with us. Now here's the hard part for me, and this is where I will conclude. Hope, by definition, is a desire that is accompanied by the expectation of fulfillment. Hope is a desire of an expectation to be fulfilled. A lot of us look at hope, I think, in more terms like a wish. I hope that'll happen. In that way, we tend to leave out the part about the expectation being fulfilled. There's no confidence. We wish this or that would happen. That's not hope. Hope is not only the desire for something to happen, but the desire accompanied with an expectation that it will happen, even though we have no evidence of it. Now, here's my difficulty. We had dinner with our daughter last night and her boyfriend. And they are typical of many young people their age. They believe in themselves. They believe that they can do anything if they just put their mind to it. They have no need for God. They have no need for fairy tales, as they call it. They have no need for wishful thinking. Now, as a mother, and as a Christian, and as a preacher, this is very disheartening for me. It brings tears to my eyes. Because I want so much to be hopeful. I want so much for our pews to be filled with people like her and her boyfriend. I want our churches to be places where young people can come with hope. But I find their lifestyles to be hopeless, even though they don't believe it. And so I waver in my hope because I don't know how to reach them. If you walk as though you are indestructible, if you walk with the belief that you can do anything on your own power and strength, you don't need God. So no matter how much I believe, no matter how much I know, no matter how much I say or try to teach, I cannot persuade them myself. And I begin to be hopeless myself. And I have to rely on this to walk in hope. I have to rely on God to give me hope. I have to rely on this word that hope is intended for all of creation, even young people, even my child. I have to walk with God in hope that my prayers, my communion with Him, which sometimes is hard to express, will reach His ear through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. And I have to believe that God, who has a destiny for His creation, will rescue my children and all of us so that we might one day walk with Him in eternity. I covet your prayers, not only for my child, but for all children and all people who do not know the hope of our Savior, that they might sit among us one day in these very pews and share in the joy and the hope that we know in our hearts. May that be so. Amen. We are going to sing an Upper Room Did Our Lord Prepare, which is on the insert in your bulletin. As we do, those who are going to serve communion will come forward. Nancy, I'm going to go ahead and invite Roy right now, since I'm already standing here. Roy, to come and sit in the front pew so that he can receive for the first time as a new member of our congregation the right hand of fellowship and his first communion with us. Let us sing together, An Upper Room Did Our Lord Prepare. Will you stand?
may be seated, and I'm going to ask Roy if he would come forward. And I'm going to ask Pastor Laura Lee and our moderator, Heather Boleen, if you would join us. I know I'm surprising you, but so that we may properly welcome Roy Hatt. Roy, if you'd turn around so people can see you. If you remember, Roy was baptized a few weeks ago. And on our annual meeting, we officially voted to make Roy a member of our congregation. So, Roy, I'm going to come down, and the three of us are going to officially welcome you with the right hand of fellowship.
Welcome, and God bless you.
Welcome to our congregation.
Thank you. And you may be seated.
Roy, then, will be the first one served in our communion.
Hope. Hope of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his resurrection. Hope of our own place in the kingdom of God, here on earth as it is in heaven. We walk in that hope. Jesus offers us today this table set before us, the table of bread and of cup, symbols of his brokenness, of his shed blood, and yet symbols of the hope of our new life with him, transformed and renewed and redeemed by his love. May you receive these elements, bread and cup, as you profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And may this food encourage you and lift you up. On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took from the table the bread that had been shared, and he broke it, and he said to his disciples, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Eat it in remembrance of me." Let us pray.
Lord, we ask your blessing upon this bread. Help us to remember that just as bread nourishes us physically, it represents your Son's body sacrificed for us so that we may be nourished spiritually. Remind us daily that this gift was given to us as a symbol of your everlasting love. Amen.
Thank you.
remembrance of Christ. In the same manner, after supper, Jesus took the cup, and he blessed it, and he shared it with his disciples, saying, "This is the blood of the new covenant, shed for the remission of sins. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you remember me until I come again." Let us pray.
Dear God, thank you for inviting us to your table. Let us remember all that you have done and given to us, that this cup represents Christ's blood to wash away our sins. May our hearts and our minds be pure in your love. Bless us with your grace and love. Amen. Drink this in memory of Christ.
And now, as is our habit here, as is our tradition and our joy, let us stand together and join hands as we sing, "Blessed be the tie that binds." Yes, you can. Receive now the benediction. May the same God who brought again from the dead our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ go with you from this moment, tomorrow, in all of your days, from now and forevermore. Amen.